Now we have other things that we can learn from Daniel, the second chapter. Years ago, I began to ask myself, self, why is it that Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome dominated the world back in those days? Why weren't other competing nations the ones that came to the forefront? For instance, Rome's competitor was Carthage. And Carthage was on the north side of Africa. It was a very strong power. In fact, Hannibal, the general there in Carthage, the general of the armed forces, is so famous in history that his moves, his leadership of his forces, are still studied today in military academies. So what happened to Carthage, and why did Rome rise rather than Carthage? Why did other nations rise rather than the nations of Persia, Greece, and Rome? And so I wanted to study history. Now, I took a class in the seminary by Mervyn Maxwell, and he taught me the value, he taught of all of us the value of the original sources. In fact, in his class, he didn't use a textbook. Instead, he was constantly bringing us copies of ancient sources, sometimes in the original language, sometimes in the handwriting, if it could be found, the handwriting of the author. And he taught us to appreciate sources. And so I began a taste for the oldest historians' sources. For instance, people like Plutonius, Suetonius, Pliny, Livy, all of these names, I began to read these because they were the oldest sources I could find on the history of Rome, the history of Greece. Herodotus I read, and you might say, well, these ancient historians, they were biased. They didn't have it all put together. Xenophon. Well, that is true. However, modern historians are biased. Historians of 200 years ago are biased. There is no such thing as a writer that's not biased, especially historians. And so they pick and choose and turn it to sound the way they want it to sound. So I decided to read the biased historians, the first ones, and then I only have to sort through one layer of bias. Does that make sense? I'm an author also. I have my biases. There's no such thing as a person without biases. And so I thought it would be easier to read the most ancient sources and then come to my own assumptions about what I can believe and what I should lay aside. And so that's what I've done. I was searching for why it was that these four nations rose to be kingdoms as opposed to others. And here's the common denominator I found among them all. They considered virtue and morality to be very high on their list of priorities when they rose to power. Each one of them had legends that tell you what they considered of morals and virtue. And they were virtuous in their beginnings. That doesn't mean that they understood the true God or honored him. They were idolatrous nations. But God measures us by our actions more than what we claim to believe. The Bible makes this clear in more than one place. And so as he looks through the, in fact, in Amos the 9th chapter, he says, I will hang my plumb line among my people Israel. God's plumb line is his moral law. It's his standard that he measures nations by. And so their adherence to his moral law, which is actually written on the hearts by the Holy Spirit, his measurement of nations is more accurate than what is it they profess, what is it that they know. And so he blessed and encouraged, you might say, nations that held virtue and morality high on the scale of priorities. And so I discovered this was true with Babylon, Persia, Greece, and Rome in their beginnings. However, as they became affluent, they went downhill morally, and that's why they were superseded by the next kingdom. Pastor Dennis, RealityCheckSeminars.com.